Updates then. We'll start with Marion Forks and Minto. Greg, I'll turn it over to you.
Okie doke. We're finishing up our last group of eggs, shocking and picking today. Egg loss is about normal, 5 to 6%. First few groups were, fecundity was much lower than we've had in the past. Usually we're around 4,500 eggs. We're looking at about 3,800, 3,900 this year. Kind of just a trend with what we saw collection. A lot of the either small four-year-olds or a ton of three-year-olds. Not sure really what that was, but we knew fecundity would be down, and it certainly is. We still have production, no problem. Everything's going well up there. We transferred 540,000 smolts down to Minto last week. Went real well. Fish are doing well. They're about 7 to 8 degrees warmer down here, which they seem to love. So they're doing well. Collection down here is pretty slow. A few coho trickling in. Got the first sockeye this morning. Still in the trap. Not sure what to do with it. Haven't gotten back from anybody, but first one I've ever seen here. It's about 7-8 pounds. So other than that, everything's going well.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Greg. This is Jeff. But what kind of kokanee population you have in Detroit?
A good one. They stock 100,000, and we always see, depending on the year and the flows and stuff, we'll see 20 to 100 of the little, 10 to 14, 15 inchers. I just have never seen a complete adult. I know Brett sees a few over at the south from time to time, but I've never seen an adult. But it's a big male, so.
Okay.
All right, moving on to South San Amon Foster. Brett.
Things are going okay here, too, as well. We're working the trap a couple times a week, checking it daily. Not much happening, just a few residual summers in the system. We did finally, we don't get many coho up here, but we did get a couple coho this week, a male and a female. One thing that's been interesting, we've been seeing a lot of cutthroat the last couple weeks, so that's how many more of those we see. But other than that, at the hatchery, we're done with the egg transfers, shock losses were low, BKD was low, everything looked good there. We just received a couple hundred thousand Chinook from Willamette. We cleared some ponds after releasing our fall Chinook, or fall release for our spring Chinook program. And the other seems like everything's on track to make size, meet size goals. Just doing some cleanup and starting to get ready for our summer steelhead spawning season. So that's kind of what's been going on here.
Cool. All right. Kurt Kremers, are you on the line? Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. I don't have a whole lot for McKenzie. The adult trap was shut last month, so no adult fish collections. They're busy shocking, picking eggs for the McKenzie program. They did, and Jeff may have the numbers. They did take care of a group of eyed eggs for the Trail Bridge Reservoir for the bull trout program. So those were planted in the Trail Bridge Res. So it was an egg injection project. Other than that, just kind of general hatchery maintenance and egg care. Everything else is going pretty well. McKenzie.
Yeah, Kurt had 200,000 eggs for above Trail Bridge, which equates to about 40 females. So.
Hey Ryan, do you remember what they ended up with for a season total at McKenzie? Was it 6,600 fish or something?
That sounds about right. I can check real quick.
Yeah, it's no big deal if you have. I just was curious. I remember Kurt saying it was a record number of fish back there.
6,454 in the Goose Jacks.
All right. We'll move on to the cougar trap.
Chad. Not a whole lot to report on. We shut the facility down back in October 26th. Ended up with a total of 248 adults back to the facility. Of those, 242 were non-marked. Only had 6 hatchery fish this year, which was down from previous years. And of course, all those fish were recycled downstream. Ended up with 159 coming back a second time. So outplanted 159 of those fish. So I think it puts us around 65% recycle rate, return rate. So all those fish were taken to Hard Rock, and then talking to Kurt, they ended up taking 125 males and 321 females up to Frizzell. So it looks like if the numbers are all right, ended up with 611 fish released above Cougar Dam this year. So,
can you say those numbers for the number the fish that Kurt released again?
125 males.
Uh-huh.
321 females.
Okay, cool.
And then, just a little note. I think late last week or over the weekend, they got Unit 2 back in service. It was out for a really long time due to the bearing cooler installation or something, but it sounds like they've been having some issues with it. So they're trying to figure out the details. So I think it's kind of temporarily shut down until they can figure out what's going on. So.
Okay.
That's all that I have on that. So,
all right. Do you know off the top of your head, 65% recycle rate for, or return rate, I guess, for this year? In past years,
you know, it was that's a lot comparable. Lower. This year we had some issue. There was more fish released into the tail race this year due to some problems with the post sort pools. There was a pretty good chunk of time where we only had one functioning post sort pool. So.
Right.
A lot more fish were returned to the tail race instead of going all the way down the Blue River. So I think in years past, it was around 50 or just above 50. I'd have to go back and double check. But
yeah.
Okay. Definitely higher this year, but I think that's due to releasing the tail race.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Were most of the ones released in the tail race a little bit later in the year?
There was some kind of mid to late season, Jeff. And then there was a handful of fish at the very end of the season that were released because they were so close to spawning. We didn't really want to take them all the way back downriver. That's kind of a practice we've done last several years, late in the season.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, Chad. Yep. All right, Doug, how about a Fall Creek update?
Fall Creek, we closed the adult facility in October. Grand total of 294 non-marked Chinook transported upstream the dam. We also collected 70 ad-marked Chinook, which we didn't transport as per protocol. 6 winter steelhead, 1 summer steelhead, no Pacific lamprey. We couldn't trap them anyway because of high water and construction. Construction's moving along on the new facility. We're hoping to be completed by this spring, knock on wood. The processing portion of the facility, the framework's going up, all the girders, that's coming along. The ladders, almost completely poured, getting ready to join that with the old portion of the ladder at the bottom. And all the miscellaneous water components. But yeah, things are looking good. And the camera, from what I understand, which gives you the time lapse or the real time imagery of the construction site, is working again.
Mm.
And sorry, I don't have that web address handy, but I can send it out to the group if you want to check in on the construction site. And that's it.
Cool. Thank you, sir. All right, moving on to Willamette and Dexter. Dan, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, everything's on track up here. We've our first group of Chinook are almost completely hatched. We had a lower fecundity this year also. I think we ended up at like 3,500 eggs, which were usually up around 4,000 on our females. But we still have plenty of eggs to make production. Losses or pre-spawn mortality was good. Egg quality was good. Everything's back to normal after these last 3 or 4 years. So it's good to see that. Like Brett said, we just transferred half of the late production for him back over yesterday. And all our smolts are on schedule. And we've been busy the last 3 weeks hauling out all these extra rainbow that we had on hand, but we put a pretty good dent in it, and by the end of this month we should have almost all of them gone except for some that we're holding for the December free fishing day events. So it's not the scenario we wanted, but it's nice to have them out of here and not put so much work into them. So other than that, we're all good. Rath building is, all the electrical is in and everything is painted on the inside, and we're getting ready to start setting equipment and piping.
Cool.
Hey, Dan, you remember this chat? Hey, you remember off the top of your head how many adults you guys got back this year?
I want to say, I mean, I can look it up and give you exactly, but I think we were right around 6,000.
6,000, okay.
And we didn't, you know, we weren't able to empty the river like we have in the past. We just, there wasn't the truck availability. The fish didn't come in. The flows that came out of Lookout and Dexter this year were great as far as fish quality goes. You know, with them draining Hills Creek and sending all that water down, it so the fish looked fabulous all through the season. Wasn't hardly any fungus. Water temperature stayed a lot colder than normal, but at the same time the fish didn't come in as fast and as heavy as they normally do. So with everything else going on, we weren't able to really empty the river like we have in the past. Okay. 10 years or so. If I had to guess, I would say we had a, you know, at least an 8,000 9,000 fish run.
Okay.
We just didn't collect that many.
Did you guys see many summer steelhead this year?
Very little.
Very few, yeah. I think we saw one in Fall Creek.
Yeah, I think we ended up with like 60 or something through the season.
Cool, thanks.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Yep.
All right, Ryan, you want to give us a little update on what's going on at Leeburg?
Sure. Leeburg continue to haul rainbow out for the kind of standard stocking schedule, so still a good number of rainbow on hand at Leeburg that are going out. And then the coho that were moved out from the gorge with that Eagle Creek fire, still on hand. There's just shy of 1,996,000 coho that'll be there through February. So we're able to use some funds from Cascade and hire a limited duration staff to take care of the coho there. So that's mm-hmm. going pretty well. Other than that, still one employee just back to work from medical injury issues.
Yeah,
injured on the job, so still limited staff, quite shorthanded there, but otherwise seems to be going well.
Cool. Thank you. All right, turn it over to Cam for a little update on fish counts at Bennett and Leeburg, and then also maybe a little conclusion on the survey season.
Andy, you're cutting in and out a little bit on the speaker. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, there's a little bit of static on our end as well. If somebody's on a cell phone, maybe they could go on to mute.
Sorry?
I was just saying, if someone's on a cell phone, maybe they could turn their phone on mute.
That'd be tricky because I'm on a cell phone.
Ah. Maybe you're the problem.
I apologize ahead of time if that's the case. Bennett counts. Slow to a trickle. We've got a small number of summer steelheads still coming up and over both Bennett's, and then a small number, six, of these cryptic Chinook that came up between November 1 and November 11 through lower Bennett, but none through upper Bennett. Some of those are likely fall Chinook. Others probably are these very late spring Chinook. nothing else going on there. Everything's going fine. We had a big job cleaning up after the last high flow event. Everything looks good now. At Lieber, hang on, I have to switch. Lieber counts, Shook, of course, that's over. We were at 1,477 unmarked fish and 424 marked fish. Passed up, made it upstream. We removed 121 marked fish from the left bank ladder, and that left us with a PHAS estimate of just north of 20%, but we're going through our final 2017 spawning survey data, and the carcass recovery information we've got from above Lieber suggests PHAS was down around 16%, 16 or 17%. Still working on the last numbers, but that fits well with our kind of working hypothesis that more of the hatchery fish fall back over the Lieber, so PHAS is lower than the actual Lieber count. Other than that, all is going well.
Cool.
Oh, one last thing. I've got a summary data set that I've been sending around. I've set a version of it out last month to folks that had an interest. We've finished updating it now with the final adult sampling numbers, and I will distribute that to the group tomorrow after I have a chance to look through all of the bits and pieces that other folks have added to it.
Great. That sounds awesome. All right, so that brings us to the last item here, which is the new fish count spreadsheet that I think Cam developed and Ryan sent it over to me a couple weeks ago. I took a look at it and it makes sense to me. Cam, I don't know if you want to speak to it at all, or Ryan, or... We don't have it up.
Sorry,
so
we were going to talk about the original version that you drafted with the tables for each facility. I thought we were chatting about that, not the more basic spreadsheet thing.
Oh, well, so my understanding was there might be a better way to do it than the spreadsheet that I originally developed, and I thought that was what Ryan sent over to me. And so we were talking about making a modification to the contract and switching to this one that you developed, Cam, is that right?
Right. Now I'm tracking it.
Okay.
It's up to the group. Of course, there's small bits of information in the spreadsheet version I developed that was asked for, counts of things that we don't readily update every single month, but because the hatchery managers report their adult transactions every month, there's a fairly simple query that we can do a report out of the hatchery management information system that captures most of the information that you're asking for, and it's more of a push button kind of thing. But if you want the more detailed information that was in your original version, it puts it on the desk of each of the hatchery managers once a month. I haven't made an effort to dig into those, how hard it is to get all of that together and get it right each month. But it might be simply more efficient for the hatchery managers if they're able to use the more automated reporting that's built into the hatchery management system. Ryan, jump in whenever you like if you've got thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think you captured it pretty well. I mean, the idea was that, you know, our folks are already reporting into our internal database.
Right.
Is there some simple way that we could simply generate a report? With a database, it seems like it's more complicated than just, you know, hitting a button. But I think, like Cam said, there are things we could pull from that would maybe match up better with, I think, the template that Cam sent over. Cam,
right.
The one I'm looking at, you had sent, and maybe we kick this out to the next meeting and or have some email discussion, but you had sent a format that was, you titled it 2015 Hatchery Disposition, an Excel spreadsheet with each of the sub-basins. I'm not sure if this is the final version of what you wanted to share with the group or not. Do we want to kick this down the road?
No, I mean, it's not final. It was just for the talking point. That's all.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll probably work. I think most of the information that we're looking for is in there.
Okay.
And like I said before, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. So if you guys are already entering all of this accounting information for adult transactions and it's a little more automated to kick it out in a different form, that works for me. The only thing I think we might have to play around with, though, is can we easily merge like what Chad and Doug are doing at Cougar and at Fall Creek to kind of compile this into a more basin-wide thing so we can look at both, you know, like what Kurt's doing at McKinsey as far as outplanning, sure, and marry that up with what you guys are doing so we can get a more holistic view of the whole system. But I think it'll probably work.
Okay. Yeah, so, template, so.
Yeah, so maybe we can send it out to the group. Is the one you sent me, Ryan, the final?
I think so.
Okay.
But maybe I'll chat with Cam, and then we'll get a version to you to share with the group.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be perfect. So if you guys do that, I'll send it out to everybody, and folks can take a look and make sure it kind of has what you'd like to see. And if there's any other comments or suggestions, maybe we can tweak it. But if not, I think that's the one we'll move forward with, and then we can do a modification to the Willamette Valley contract and just insert that in there and get all the paperwork squared away. Cool.
Okay.
Thanks for doing that, Cam.
Pleasure.
All right. That brings us to the end of the agenda. Is there anything else? Anything else that anybody wants to talk about or has questions on?
Yeah, Andy, are there any updates on the lawsuits?
So as far as the summer steelhead one goes, let's see. So there was the original complaint that was filed, and we're required to kind of answer it, you know. So we gave a formal answer, but then the plaintiffs, so this was before the contract was awarded for the Willamette Valley. And so once the contract was awarded, the plaintiffs said, okay, well, hang on, you changed the game, so we want to amend our complaint. So they sent us a new complaint, and we sent them back a new answer. And right now, we are in settlement discussions, or I don't know if it's settlement discussions necessarily. We're seeing if a settlement is possible. And settlement discussions are confidential, so I'm not allowed to speak about any of those, but I'm kind of seeing if you kind of go back and forth with offers. It's like, all right, would this work? Does this make everyone happy? No. Okay, well, is there a counter offer that would work? So that process is ongoing right now. And I think, I don't know if there's a timeline that the court sets for that, but it can't go on indefinitely. I think they give you a couple of weeks, a month or two. So if a settlement's not possible, then it would actually move to full litigation. And that would, of course, be a long, lengthy process. But that's kind of where we're at with that one.
Okay, well, thanks. Appreciate it. Just really curious. Hadn't heard anything in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like many other things with the federal government, it seems to be pretty slow.
The other issue I had, Andy, was just going to ask you a question for an update on Lieberg, the kind of property transfer, disposal.
Right.
Any update on that?
No, not right now. So I need to check back with our real estate folks.
Okay.
But I had provided them kind of a justification for disposal because they need a reason, and they were moving forward with that process. I think they were still trying to identify like which, there's a couple different pathways you can dispose of something, and which pathway was the right one.
Okay.
There's one that goes through GSA, and I think that's the preferred alternative from what I've heard. So I'll make a note to check back with them, and I'll give you an update.
Sounds good.
I think they're still moving along the road. And last I heard from those guys, they were thinking that given that GSA pathway of disposal, that would take longer than June 30th of next year. So they offered the idea of putting a short-term lease in place to kind of cover the gap between, I guess nothing's guaranteed, but the intention would be transfer it and then give ODFW the chance to take ownership of it, right?
Right.
So putting that out there as the long-term goalpost, it's like covering that interim time period with a lease between when the co-op task order extension expires and when ownership by the state would take over.
Okay. Yeah,
so, and it sounded like that was pretty easy to do, kind of a short-term lease to bridge the gap. So I'll make a note of that. All right. Anything else from folks on the phone? Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
I don't think so.
All right. Thanks for calling in, guys. We'll get these notes out and talk to you later.
Hey, Andy?
Yes, sir.
Before you get off the phone?
Yeah.
Can you give me a call when you get a chance?
I will.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. See ya.
See ya.
Cool.